With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Play. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come to the show. What's up?
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing another major. They're coming so quick, it's beautiful. Just one after another, it feels like. This time, they're heading to the Southwest, to La Jolla, California, to Torrey Pines for the U.S. Open. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I am at BD Intrick, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Excited for this event. Majors are always fun. They'll be chaotic. It'll be full tilt. It'll be everything we need in PGA DFS golf, plus a lot of new players, which is always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's anytime you got the U.S. Open, I don't give a shit. It's a great week. So,
yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to see if they can lose the course or not. It's going to be cool. Really looking forward to it. I appreciate the tweet. I wasn't able to watch a ton of Sunday's coverage, but I always appreciate a good tweet about another 18th green backdrop getting used. That's always fun. So yeah. What do you think about the Palmetto? I think overall, for a tournament that obviously lacked the strongest field, it wasn't horrible. It was pretty good.
Well, I mean,
golf is golf, but yeah,
that's relative, I guess. I mean, when Bo Van Pelt is up there, maybe he's figured it out. I don't know, but it was an odd leaderboard, to say the least. Chesson Hadley, four straight missed cuts, you know, is leading going by four, you know, five straight miscuts, however many straight miscuts he had. I mean, the golf course looked awesome.
Yeah.
I will say that. I mean, but I wouldn't expect anything different. And then, the backdrop, man. I mean, he literally, him and Harris English just stumbled in to the final hole, and he hits it and it hits the backdrop. And then, the grandstand, nice little backstop there for him. So anyway, yeah. And then Higo, who
gets it done.
Yeah, who I said was on the top of my model. I didn't play him, of course. I mean, why would you do that? Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was worried about too much Higo. I played him in one of three. It was my best lineup. It was the one I used in Junkie, and it worked out well. I was afraid of going too heavy because Mayo is like, that's his boy. So I'm thinking it's going to be full chaos. And he wasn't as high owned as I expected.
No, he wasn't. And it sucks.
I was kicking myself Thursday morning.
Yeah, very much so. I agree. Yeah.
Because if anything, it'll be similar this week when we talk about the tournament with so much question and miscut potential last week. I just wanted like kind of a safety net. And at worst, I figured Higo could make the cut. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So like I should have gone more. Did I think he was going to win? No. I didn't think a guy making his first U.S. start, PGA start, was going, no, not a chance in hell. But
it was his second, but second. Still, yes.
Yeah. It just shows you, it kind of sucks for him, though. I was like, is it because it was a weak field, or did you actually play your ass off? Like, it sucks for him.
No matter what, that's a PGA Tour win.
It's a dub.
And he's got his card, so everybody else can suck it. That's what I would say if I were him.
Yeah, so would I. I'd like to see some more Higo because he was fun just following him on the tracker. The dude, he's a ball striker. I can tell you that much. Like, the dude was raking it, and he was stuffing the DraftKings scorecard. So,
yeah,
he was very, really very nice. As I was happy with that because he even when he bogey holes, he'd come back with like a birdie streak or something. The boy could put up some points. So, that's what we look for. And I'm looking forward to like put him like at the waste management or something. We could have a field day there. Like, that'd be some good stuff. So,
I agree.
We'll see how that goes, but let's move on. I don't think we want to talk Palmetto too much more. It was interesting to say the least. Brooks, you know, 36th and out. So that was good. I want to talk about like DJ's, like so many guys fell apart at the end, like you mentioned Harris English and others. It was wild, the wild finish to say the least.
Yeah.
Let's head to Torrey Pines. Obviously, we see Torrey Pines once a year for the Farmers. It's going to be a little different this year, Jesse. Do you have any past event history for either the U.S. Open or Torrey that you'd like to discuss?
I got both. I got both pulled up. So just starting with the U.S. Open by itself, last year it was played at Winged Foot, Bryson DeChambeau, more commonly referred to as Bison.
Or Brooksy.
Or Brooksy. Yeah. I got a lot of nicknames. 600 par, six shots over Matthew Wolf. Is Matt Wolf even in the field? This
he's on the DK list. I don't like, so he's in the field, but man, like, where's he been?
Yeah.
Besides missing cuts from time to time. Like, where's he been?
And withdrawing and stuff. Yeah. 2019 was at Pebble Beach, Gary Woodland, 13 under, three shots over Brooks. 2018 was Shinnecock. One over was the winning score. Brooks Koepka was the winner. One shot over Tommy Fleetwood. Brooks was also the 2017 winner, 16 under, four shots over Hideki. That was at Aaron Hills.
Yep.
DJ won at Oakmont in 2016, four under, three shots over Furyk, Lowry, Piercy. Jordan Spieth won at Chambers Bay in 2015 when DJ three-jacked the last hole. And 500 par for him that year. Justin Rose, obviously past winner. Webb Simpson, Rory's 1-1. If you go all the way back to the last time that this place was that Torrey Pines hosted this golf course, Tiger Woods won at 1 under par in a playoff over Rocco. I think that was when he had the
knee issue.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically one and on one leg.
Yep.
Shot 1 under
playoff. It was everything. It was awesome. Yep.
And has it hosted it more than once?
I honestly don't think that's the only one I ever hear talked about. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's only once. If it was, it was back in like the 90s sometime. So it's so irrelevant now.
I'm looking back to the 70s and I don't see it on there again. So that's kind of your U.S. Open recap there. And then as far as like Torrey Pines goes, obviously hosts the Farmers Insurance Open every year. Now they use both courses, the North and the South, for the first 2 days, right?
For the Farmers, yes. Not for the U.S. Open, though.
Yeah, right. So this is all going to be on the South course. And the winner here, or everybody who plays and makes the cut at the Farmers Open, plays three rounds at the South course, one round at the North Coast course, which is the easier course. Anyways, 2021, this year, Patrick Reed won this tournament 14 under, five shots over Tony Finau, Victor Hovland, Norlander, Palmer, and Schauffele. 2020 was when Mark Leishman could not hit a fairway, but still won 15 under, one shot over John Rahm. 2019, Justin Rose was the winner, 21 under, two shots over Adam Scott. Jason Day won his second title in 2018, 10 under in a playoff over Noren and Palmer. John Rahm won in 2017, 13 under, three shots over Howell and CT Pan. And Brant Snedeker's won this twice. 2016 was his second victory, six under, one shot over KJ Joy. I think that's when he got in the house before, like, a hurricane came through. Tiger Woods has won. He's won the Farmers Insurance Open seven times.
Yeah, they could rename it after him if they wanted to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he won it four straight years: 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008.
That's pretty crazy.
It's still crazy to look back and see what
Tiger did.
Yeah, I mean, Mickelson's won it back to back too, though, in 2000 and 2001.
He's a San Diego guy.
He's a California dude. Yep.
Yep. So that's his deal. That's why they were going to give him that special exemption before he won the PGA. Like, they were letting him in backdoor. They wouldn't give it to Ricky, though, but they'll give it to Phil. I kind of appreciate that move, actually. Like, that's a pretty good move. But a couple things from what Jesse was talking about there is the scoring won't be the same as we saw during the Farmers. Like, those scores of 21 under. It'll be more like I'd expect it to be like 6-7 under or even closer to even par. Like, par is a great score. I would
think so too. But, you know, you think about, like, you look back at at Pebble Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this today. You know, Pebble Beach, usually the winner there, obviously it's a pro-am, and they're normally playing three different courses at Pebble Beach, right?
Yeah.
You got two rounds at actual Pebble Beach, and it's the pro-am. But, you know, they're getting in the scores of 20 under or better. And then the winning score there was, I think, 13 by Woodland when he won. I just wonder, but and then you look back at Torrey Pines when Tiger won on one leg and he shot one under. So I'm guessing that they can toughen this course up more so than what Pebble.
Big time. Pebble, there's
there was no so wind
much,
either.
Yeah, but there's no wind at Pebble. You can't really lengthen Pebble. That's the biggest thing. Like, I remember walking that course and we talked about it. There's like three or four holes where they put tee boxes back in almost someone's backyard in Pebble. Like, that's the best they could do. They pretty much there was one where the tee box, they pulled it all the way back where the green's over here and like in front of the tee box now from the previous hole. It was they were creating spaces out there. Where at Torrey, it's already long to begin with, and now they extended it even longer. So that's already an animal in itself. The fairways are going to be super, super narrow, as you'd expect, and the rough's going to be super thick. If you're in the Slack chat with us, and I also texted to Jesse, I said it a couple weeks ago on the show that my good buddy, who is a very good golfer, and he lives down there, he plays Torrey a couple times a month, and he got on the list to play this Sunday, so a week ago, basically, before they shut things down for the tournament. So it's like the grandstands are already up. He's got videos of it and stuff. It's pretty legit. And he showed a video of a ball in the rough. He just dropped it in there, and it's nasty. And obviously, they can trim it up and everything, but you're already seeing videos of today all over Twitter that it's nasty. And he said, I don't care who you are getting out of that, you're never keeping it on a green. He said, unless like you get lucky like Bryson last year, like if you can bomb it type thing.
Well, the thing with Bryson is his wedge is as long as a 6-iron, so he's got
different. Yeah,
he's got the ability to create more speed through the rough. Did you see where Tour Junkies had Paul Tesori on? He's Webb's caddy.
Okay.
And he said that they were going to kind of like stagger the rough. So like
I've heard that a few, but the closer you get to the green, right?
Right. The taller it is, basically. So if you're hitting driver, you're more risky of hitting it into higher rough than if you lay back with the 3-wood.
That'd be interesting to see, because that kind of would change things a little bit. If you can, you know, hit 3-wood and be 200 out, you can at least try to control something out of the rough compared to being 120, it's still gonna be difficult as hell.
Maybe, yeah, wrong. I mean, that's to me.
A long iron coming in still freaking dicey as hell.
Yeah,
it's still be around there. It's gonna be tricky, and that's the biggest thing. Is it's gonna be really long, narrow fairways, thick rough, and these greens. He was telling me they're already very fast, and they're already talking about they're baking them out.
Yeah.
Like they're going to like, and that's just gonna make it so difficult because it's got the Kukui grass. Like I play that course here is Kukui. I freaking hate it. It is the worst thing on the planet because you can't run anything up there. You have to land it on the surface, otherwise it ain't getting there. It'll just stop like it's a freaking Velcro. And then just chipping out of it, it'll catch your club sometimes, do some wacky shit, trying to get spin on its nets. Like, Kukui grass is the worst invention on the face of the planet. Whoever put that together, I don't know who, maybe it was somebody in the big book. I don't know. But that person, just bad person, very bad person, should never be on a golf course. So you're going to see that. You're going to think a guy that's a good shot where you could, you know, bounce it up a couple times like a normal golf course. No, ain't happening. He'll be chipping still. So that makes things tricky, and getting to sit on these greens would be very, very tough. So short games gonna be huge. Bogey avoidance, or like just scoring par, is gonna be huge on some of these holes, as we've seen. I'm not gonna go into a ton of the details. It's gonna be a par 71. Gonna play about 76-50. You know, during the Farmers Insurance, it's a 72 or par 72. They basically made the par 5-6, which is 515 yards, into par 4. And on paper, that sounds like, oh crap. But talking to my buddy today, who's a big hitter also, he said, oh, no, these guys can just cut the corner. And if they land in the fairway, they can easily have like a 7-iron in. Now, if they miss the fairway and then the rough, they might have a little more trouble. But they can still, if they want to be aggressive, most of the big boys, they can get it on in two pretty easily. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world for some of these guys where when you first see the headline, like, oh, crap, 515-yard par 4. Yeah. Some guys, it's going to be tough. But like the big boys, they're going to be just fine, most likely. So don't let that one go into your head. But basically, I think we can talk about it here is Bombers is going to be super popular, and for good reason. Obviously, the closer you are, the, you know, whatever. There's lots of logic behind that. But also finding the fairway is pretty big. So maybe if you're a little shorter, but you're in the fairway more often, that can be huge. You want a good short game. Poa always comes into play. So what angler are you taking this week?
You mean like just as far as stats go and stuff?
Yeah, like what are you looking at when you're targeting this?
I mean, I think you really have to look at strokes gained off the tee. If you look at the last few years, I mean, that's what these guys, the winners do very well is hit it off the tee and gain strokes there. Obviously, approach is going to matter too. There's plenty of course history. I think that still matters. In particular, putting. If you use something like Fancy Golf National, they have the ability to basically pull just the putting rounds from Torrey, the South course over the years. And you can look and see guys who've putted well on this surface. Cause like you said, it's Poa Anna, right?
Yeah, it's Poa. Yeah. And that's a tricky beast.
It is. I mean, it gets worse throughout the day. You know, it's one of those surfaces that is very frustrating from what I've heard to put on. I don't know that I've ever put it on Poa, but especially on the West Coast, which is different type of strain than on the East Coast, and a lot of shit to go into there.
Not going
to
be overseeded either, I promise.
No overseed. Anyways, long story short, man, that's really what I look at. I want guys who have just a really, really strong tee to green game, because there's going to be bogeys. Birdies are few and far between. You got to make a lot of pars. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm looking at. I'm heavily weighting Shark Skin off the tee this week.
Yeah, the Poa, it's tricky because like it'll start out in the morning beautiful, but the more like the foot traffic, it really is noticeable compared to like other courses where you play, and it grows so fast throughout the day. So if it's a warm day, it'll grow a lot. If it's just mediocre, grow a little. Like it varies so much, and it's just the way they can cut it so weird and stuff. Like they can mess with you on those greens so much, and it's very annoying to be honest. The other thing to keep in mind, you watch the weather. It's going to be warmer than usual this week. Like where I'm at, it's going to be in triple digits. So down there, it should be in the 80s, I'd imagine, if not high 70s, which is warm for that place. But you get the coastal fog layer. Like I was at the beach yesterday, and you go over this hill, and all of a sudden the sun's gone, and it's like 2 p.m. and it's still foggy, and just like all the moisture is kept in. So that'll kind of ruin some distance as well. So you don't have to, playing meteorologist is never fun, but it's something to kind of keep an eye on as well, that it might even benefit the Bombers even more. I'm focusing on, you want distance. I'm not ignoring that completely, but I think if I want to be different in my DK builds, kind of goes to the tee to green, but like give me the accuracy off the tee with a good short game. Cause like if you're missing greens, you gotta be able to get up and down and at worst get a bogey, hopefully save par, like give me something in that range and walk away. If your guys, I will guarantee you this right now, if your guys even par after Friday, you'll find the weekend. So there's nothing wrong with shooting pars all day long. So give me that and see what happens. But I probably say all that now, and I'll look at ownership on Wednesday night like I always do and go, oh, these Bombers are so low owned. So that's what will end up happening. But let's talk a little fan share real quick, and we'll move on out. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS to get 25% off the package of your choice. Use I'm just doing some like current form last couple weeks. Guys in here in DK scoring. Spieth leads the way. Hoffman's right there. Morikawa, Kokrak, Answer, DeChambeau, all checking the boxes. Over the last six majors in DK scoring, Brooks leads the way, followed by Reed, Finau, Rahm. We're not going to use him because only one event. Usti, Lowry, and Cam Smith check the DK boxes. And last but not least, par 71s over 7,400 yards in a strong field. We have Xander, Patrick Reed, Kisner somehow checks the box here, Billy Horschel, Adam Scott, Tony Finau. So a little bit different, and like you could do a bunch of different things on FanShare. You could do a bunch of different things on Fantasy National, as Jesse was saying, to kind of get a feel for what kind of player pool you need. But let's talk players, Jesse. Let's get into the DraftKings pick. It's going to be a fun one, and we have five guys over $10,000. You got John Rahm at 11-2, Spieth at 10-9, DJ 10-7, Bryson 10-4, Brooks 10-1. Where are you going here?
I don't know exactly how high on John Rahm is going to be, but I feel like he's got to be. I mean, it makes sense for him to be the favorite. If you look back at his finishes at Torrey, obviously he won it in 2017, but 7th, 2nd, and 5th in the last 3 years. Did have a 29th place finish there in 2018, but long story short, 3 straight top 10s. Obviously coming off the WD where he was just smoking the field at the Memorial Tournament, I don't see how you don't play John Rahm. Jordan Spieth, I think, is fine. I did hear that he turned his ankle. But then he looked fine. I mean, the thing about Jordan is he's not like played super well around Torrey over the years. Miscut, 55th, 35th, miscut. But he has won a U.S. Open in the past. Now, that U.S. Open at Chambers Bay was
a little different.
Yeah. I mean, it was the Chambers Bay is not set up with a lot of rough. He's been very sketch off the tee. So recently it's kind of been his Achilles heel. I mean, it's been his Achilles heel for a long time, but long story short, I don't know about Jordan, which I'm always, a big
Your
Jordan
team
fan.
Jordan. So this is big.
Yeah, it is. DJ, I'll be interested to see how high owned or projected, you know, DJ is. Obviously, miscut, PGA Championship. Looked like he was going to dominate the field at the Palmetto and then just faded away into, like, making quadruples. So, you know, I think he's all right. I think Bryson is playable. He has two miscuts in a row at Torrey, but whatever. It's a different story. Brooks at 10-1 off the miscut. I think I'm going to have to do it. I think really the two guys that I really am, like, more than willing to play up here are John Rahm and Brooks, especially with Brooks coming off the miscut.
Yeah, we're kind of on the same page here. John Rahm is 11-2. I'm curious about his ownership as well, because as we get farther down the board, that 6K range is oh so nasty. So it depends on how you want to lineup build. But Rombo, he should be $1.9 million richer. He's not. He got out of COVID protocol like 4 days early. Go figure. There's a lot of weird things going on there with Rahm, and he's coming in phenomenal form. Loves this golf course, as you mentioned. He's even a guy that he's got a really good short game for one of the bigger hitters, like really good short game. That's why he does so well at the Memorial and everything. I think Rombo's a great play this week at 11-2, so big fan there. Spieth's interesting just because I think he's like the lowest owned in this whole group, and that kind of gets my attention, because if you want to talk short game, Spieth's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I know it's 10-9, so you need him to finish high, and that's where it gets tough for Spieth. But if you're getting a guy who's probably playing the best in the world consistently right now, you're getting them at super low ownership. Makes things quite interesting in a tournament like this. And then I'm with you on Brooks. Like, Bryson and DJ, I don't know where they're at. If they won, would I be shocked? No. But I'd rather put my money elsewhere. And Brooks, big game hunter. He doesn't care about missing the cut. The dude flew out on his PJ. He was in La Jolla on Saturday already. Like, yeah, I mean, he did not
care. He had no interest in playing.
He was getting reps. Like, it's kind of like we talked about last week. If he gets off to a hot start Thursday, he'll go contend. Otherwise, he's going home. He didn't start hot Thursday. He went home. It's very simple. That's Brooks to a T these days. He wants to make a point this week. Let's just put it that way. So this will be really interesting with Brooks. I'll play the 10-1. If he struggles, he struggles. But we saw how good he can play at the PGA and stuff. I'm good with Brooks in a field like this. But it's a fun deal, and as we get closer and lower in the pricing here, it'll be interesting to see how we make it fit. So speaking of lower in the pricing, 9K range, you got Rory at 99, JT 97, Morikawa 95, Xander 93, Hovland 92, Cantlay 91, and Reed 9,000. Where are you going in the 9K range?
I'm super surprised. I mean, it's got to just be the soft pricing from the major that Rory is 90, you know.
The fact he's not five figures is nuts.
Yeah, 9,900. I mean, when was the last time he was less than 10K? Let's see if we can figure that out.
Yeah,
maybe we won't. Maybe we won't.
Way back, I'm assuming. Way back. I don't have the data. I don't have the software to go that far back.
I'll figure it out. Anyways, long story short, he's played, really well, obviously, around here, 16th, 3rd, 5th in his last three starts, and has a win in the last month. So, Rory at in the last month and a half. Rory at 9,900, love him. Morikawa at 9,500, 21st here in 2020, coming off a second-place finish at the Memorial, where he finished second to – well, he really finished third.
Yeah.
Finished second to Rahm and Cantlay. I don't know how popular Xander will be. He kind of checks the boxes, what you would think here. He finished second here earlier this year, 11th at the Memorial. Did miss the cut the PGA, though. I don't know. I'm not going to go on. Probably not going to be on Xander. So there you go, Nagels, Bagels. You've got free reign at Xander. Not to worry about the jinx for me. Hovland, I feel like he's a really good play at 9,200. Mm-hmm. I mean, second place finish here earlier this year. He does struggle with the short game, so obviously that is concerning. Patrick Reed won the last time that the tour was at Torrey Pines earlier this year. Fifth place finish at the Memorial Championship. Finished 17th at the PGA Championship. Missed the cut in between at the Charles Schwab, but who gives a shit? I mean, those two courses are going to play a lot more similar to whatever they were playing at the Charles Schwab. I don't even remember. It was in Texas somewhere or something. Long story short, love Patrick Reed as well. At 9,000, I think that's a good price on him too. So,
yep. Team Reed's in full force this week. Team Reed is in full force.
I just like half. I like half the 9,000 range is all.
Well, it's the usual thing for me at least. Like, I don't want to play 10K guys. Give me all the 9K guys. But I wonder if that's gonna be more popular this week because the 6K range sucks so bad. It's like, this might get murky. I've been doing a lot of like 2 to 3 9K guys and just loving life. But it's going to be fun because I love Morikawa. I know Harding Park was like 400 yards shorter. I get it. But the layout idea of where like the narrow fairways and the thick, thick rough, that was nasty rough there. And the way he navigated that, he's so accurate off the tee. And his long iron game is so good. And he's longer than people give him credit for. He's not like super long. Don't get me wrong. But he's one of those guys, if he's striking it off the tee, he's going to give himself a chance at a lot of pars or better. A lot. Yeah. So I like Morikawa at $9,500 in this event. He knows the West Coast. He knows POA. Like this all checks out for Morikawa quite a bit. So big Morikawa fan this week. Xander, he's already talked about a lot. So I'm imagining he's going to be pretty popular unless it's one of those he's talked about so much everybody avoids him, but then it becomes a low owned again. That's where Xander's going to be this week. Finished second, like you said, at Torrey this year, finally kind of broke the curse there. Plays really well in these major type events. So this could be, you know, home game for Xander at 93. I love everything you said about Hovland. I have basically Morikawa Hovland kind of as like my 1-2 starting punch. I'm like very, very excited about. And then you splash some Reed on the back there. If I can go Morikawa Hovland Reed, I guarantee I'll have at least one lineup out of my three lineups with those three guys starting things off. I might have at least two of those in all three of my lineups, basically. And we'll see where things go. So, yeah, Morikawa, Hovland, Reed. That's where I'm going in the 9K range. Right now, we're pretty much on the same page, Jesse. So, this is going to be really good or really bad. Not quite sure there. But a lot of guys to differentiate us still as we move on. 8K range, Finau, 89. Matsuyama, 88. Webb, 87. Zalatoris, 86. Scheffler, 85. Berger, 84. Hatton, 83. Connors, 82. Usti, 81. Rose and Smith at 8,000. What do you like in this range?
Yeah, there's plenty. Plenty to like here too. Obviously Finau at 89, second place finish here earlier this year, sixth the year before that, 13th, sixth, fourth. I mean, just really good finishes at Torrey overall. Now, is his form coming in the best? No, but he did, you know, finish eighth at the PGA Championship, 20th Charles Schwab. Again, who gives a shit? 32nd Memorial. So he does have the two cuts you really want to see made in a top 10 in the last, you know, month and those more difficult tracks. So I think Tony's fine. Hideki at 8,800. I mean, I would think that this would be like, if you would have asked me, is Hideki going to win a Masters or a U.S. Open first? I would have said a U.S. Open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because yeah, it's not the Masters, there's more birdies. You have to be able to putt very well. And I'm not saying you don't have to be able to putt well at the U.S. Open. What I'm saying is it's not a putting contest. And the Masters isn't necessarily either, but it's more of a putting contest than the U.S. Open will be. So with that being said, I'll be interested to see how highly touted Hideki is. His course history is okay. 53rd, 45th, 3rd in his last three starts at Torrey. Obviously won the Masters since then. He's made all three cuts since he's come back, you know, from Japan. Didn't play great at the Memorial, still made the cut, finished 62nd, whatever. Hatton at 8,300. He actually had a pretty good weekend and was in contention. He had three eagles in one round.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Made the cut to the PGA Championship, made the cut to the Masters. I think he's fine at 83. Louis at 81. He's, you know, like Brooks Light as far as he just steps up during big time events. Second place finish PGA Championship, 18th place finish Memorial, made the cut to Masters, finished 26th, eighth in between there at the Valspar. I mean, he's playing really, really good golf, and you're getting a good price on him, in my opinion, 8,000. Rose, GPP only, but I think he's playable. Obviously, past winner at Torrey Pines, has won a U.S. Open, I do believe, too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he fits the mold. Eighth place finish PGA Championship, 20th place finish Charles Schwab in his last two events. So I think he's very GPP worthy, and I'll be interested to see how, if he's getting talked up very much, because if he's not, then I really like Rose in big field GPPs this week.
Especially like, you know, you don't want to compare too much to playing in the Farmers, but there's still a lot to be said, like you said, about course knowledge. Obviously he's got that knowledge, so 8K for Rose could be nice. Dom Walton's in the chat with us, and he mentioned Xander has never finished worse than sixth at the U.S. Open. That's pretty impressive. That means he knows how to play those tough conditions, save pars, and do the damage there. Something else to think about with the Xander train. 8K range, though, like you said, Finau is going to be very popular, and for good reason. Like, This is the perfect Finau price because you don't think he's ever going to win anything, so you don't want to overpay for him. Right. But this is how he can still go top 10, top 5, and make you all the money. Like, this is chalky Finau price. This is where you want him. So, yeah, should be very popular. One guy I'm really looking forward to could be a pivot because if everyone's going bombers, they're going to overlook Webb Simpson. And, you know, he finished 12th at the Masters long course, 30th at the PGA Championship. If you look at the Century Tournament of Champions, another kind of weird long course, he finished 17th, finished 10th at last year's Masters. He hasn't been playing a ton of golf, but when he plays, he A, makes cuts, and B, puts up a good round. At $8,700, you know, find the fairways, good approach game, good around the green. Don't avoid the bogeys. I think Webb at 87 can be quite interesting to kind of make things a little different in your lineups, because I think he'll get overlooked in the bomber world.
One thing about Webb, he was supposed to play the Wells Fargo, right? And he withdrew.
Yeah. Stiff neck is what it was.
All right. So
who knows what
it was. I would just say mind, you know,
mind that. See what's going on. Yeah.
I'm with you. I mean,
I think he'll go super overlooked. So
yeah,
interesting angle there for Webb. Maybe I'm shooting the moon here, but we'll see. And same with Scottie Scheffler at 85. He's tilted us many times, no doubt about it. But the dude is a scoring machine. And it comes to majors, I think the last six majors, he leads the field in overall under par. I think Will Gray tweeted that out earlier today. He didn't play in the U.S. Open last year. That could have an effect on it. But he's still dominating in majors, which is big. He's 8,500, so I like that quite a bit. Tyrell Hatton, I'm with you at 83. He's a guy that can grind it, plays on a lot of big fields, and plays well. So $8,300 for Hatton. Like, his short game, I'll ride with that and see where he goes. Usti, never thought I'd hear Usti and Brooks compared to each other, but it makes sense. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, though, because he shows up in majors. He big game hunts. It's what Usti does. Like, next, like, you always go, oh, it's freaking Usti. Is he going to wake up and play? That's always a question. It's always a question.
But not in weeks like this, yeah.
Exactly. Majors, he doesn't really leave you hanging often. And even, like, when I first sat down to get ready to record, turned on Golf Channel, they're showing him on the range, just hitting balls in his shorts. Looks healthy to me. We'll see how that goes. But he shows up in these events, like, you'll just be kind of hanging out. You'll check the, you know, the PGA or U.S. Open app, and there's Usti, like, eighth place at, like, 300 par. Like, what the? Like, it's just what Usti does time and time again. So I'm with you there. And then the Rose and Cam Smith plays are going to really tilt me. Like, I want little action on both, but I can't pull the trigger just yet. So we're going to have to dig in deeper on those for sure and see what he says. Dom Walton mentioned Tesori said he pulled his neck at Wells Fargo, then still hurting him at PGA Championship so bad that he almost withdrew Sunday and had the flu last week, but all good to go now. Yeah, that sounds interesting. might have to go see some more there. Whew. That's gonna
so
be
what's
fun.
He been doing? He hasn't been playing golf, most likely. So
yeah, they still got T30 at the PGA.
I mean, so but beware of the injured golfer too. You know, I mean, like it could go either way. Like, he could literally win.
Yeah, he could definitely win, or he's going to withdraw. Yeah. So let's see what happens there. 79 to 75. You got Casey, Answer, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Burns, Mickelson, Lowry, M, Kokrak, Woodland, Neiman, and Garcia. Who stands out to you here?
Start up top, you know, Paul Casey. He's just kind of a normal, kind of cash game shoe in my opinion, for just about every major, just because the guy makes a shit ton of cuts. Finished fourth of the PGA Championship. Not been super successful around Torrey. 28th missed cut, 65th, but that's, he hasn't played since 2017, so I think he's fine. Not a big fan of him in GPPs, but, you know, whatever. I'd rather go to Answer myself. I feel like he's got the higher upside as far as the potential finish goes. He's not been great around tour either. Missed cut, 20th missed cut, 2019, 2018, 2016, but has played very well of late. Eighth place finish to the PGA Championship. Go back to the Masters, 26th there. Just playing solid golf. I think Answer is a steal at 79. I think another steal is Kokrak at 76. I feel like he's going to be super popular, though. Now, does that mean don't play him? I don't think that means just don't play him, but this is the type of shit, again, that like Hideki, that this should fit Kokrak's game. I mean, he did win a birdie fest at the Charles Schwab 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. But he's just making a lot of cuts, too, and just playing really solid golf at 7,600. Like him quite a bit. Woodland at 75, I think, is GPP play. Obviously, past U.S. Open champion. Has had some decent success around Torrey. 48th missed cut, 9th, 12th, 20th, 18th, 45th, if you go back to 2015. He's coming off a missed cut at the Memorial. It's fine, whatever. Not really super worried about that, especially at this price of 75. Again, like only GBPs for me. But and then Sergio, you know, he's got one start at Torrey, 18th place finish 2008, come off the 20th place finish there's Charles Schwab before that, four straight missed cuts. Yeah, he could just magically show up and figure it out. I don't know. I think he's like, if I'm playing 150 GBP lineups, I probably put him in, you know, 5 to 10%. Just in case, because at 7,500, he's at the upside there.
Well, especially when you look at a guy like Sergio, where usually pretty decent off the tee, and he's got that iron game that you like, you thrive for when he's on. So it's tough. I usually don't have any Sergio. I just avoid it, but I'm with you. But back to the top range here, Casey's going to be super popular. I get it. He's been playing really good golf when he plays, but I'm with you 100%. I'll take the pivot on answer all day long. We've been a pro answer podcast. We play him all the time pretty much because to me, he's usually undervalued in almost every tournament. He has like a top 20 machine, plays well in big events, tough courses, don't slow him down. Like he's really good at saving pars and then succeeding. Could he miss the cut? Yes. Anybody, no one at the US Open would surprise me if they missed the cut. Nobody, yeah. Nobody, even the 10K guys. But at $7,900, answer is a legit guy that I would not be shocked if you see T15, T10 come Sunday. Like he's that good. So I'll take him over Casey right now, especially in that pivot at $100. I love Fitz at 78. He's playing very bad golf, like or very inconsistent golf today. Like he finished up the week in Palmetto nicely, but was that, you know, the field like what helped him out there? Still shot 500 on Sunday, so that's nice. But he's been playing some really tricky golf. Again, this type of tournament and the venue fits him beautifully. So if he's got it going on, he's going to top 10 this baby. I guarantee that. It's just where's his game at? It's very tough. So 78 for Fitz in tournaments, I'm still there. Fleetwood, I don't mind. He shows up in these U.S. Opens. He played well last week, especially he finished strong on Sunday. He has had like one blow-up hole each day because I had him and I was following him, and it was just like, God damn it. But he easily could have been like 6 or 7 under. He just screwed the pooch a couple times. But 78 for Fleetwood, especially if it's not a birdie fest, I can see that playing out. And then Shane Lowry at 76, a grinded-out type tournament. I like him a lot. And you mentioned Kokrak at 76. So yeah, big fan of this range, and it'll definitely be an ownership play for me on Wednesday. Like I'll have my guys circled, and I'll kind of mix and match there, but answer, I'll probably plug in 100%. Well, not 100% lines, but definitely have answer, regardless of ownership. 7K to $7,400, who you liking here?
I think Adam Scott's okay at 7,400. I mean, that's a really low price on him. 10th, 2nd, 26th in his last three starts. 10th and 2nd were 2021 and 2019. So he's had success around Torrey Pines. He made the cut at the Memorial, 16th place finish. He's just not played super great, so maybe the price actually fits him this year, 7,400 or something. He's not used to seeing Adam Scott at 7,400. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how highly owned he is, because if he comes in low owned, I like him quite a bit. Leishman, 7,400. I talked about him during the whole Torrey Pines kind of recap there. Obviously, he won this in 2020. Finished 18th here more recently this year. He's kind of up and down with his game. I'm not fully on board with Leishman, but I think he's okay. Homa at 7,300, 18th and 9th in his last two starts at Torrey. Come off the really good sixth place finish, kind of out of nowhere. Because, I mean, like, if you look at his, he's a really good GBP play, like maybe the ultimate GBP play here. Sixth, miscut, miscut. 10th, 22nd, 1st, 7th. I mean, like, you know,
checking all those boxes.
If he's making the cut, he's basically finished inside the top 20. So, Homa, 7,300. Hoffman, 7,200. He withdrew from the tournament this year, but 9th place in 2020 at Torrey, missed cut, 35th, 54th, 43rd. That's fine. He's just playing really good, solid golf right now. So, at 72. Man, I think Higo at 7,200 is also playable. Obviously, won this past week, but you know, made the cut at the PGA Championship and has just been lighting it up. I mean, on the European Tour we talked about last week, but 1st, 8th, 4th in his last three European Tour starts. Obviously, playing very well. Shouldn't have a whole heck of a lot of pressure on him. There's Matt Wolf at 7,200. Yep. Not playing him. I just wanted to mention
I'll take the L on that one if it happens.
He was just on the list. I think Sink at 7,200 is okay. Ryan Palmer, man, at 7,100. Yeah. If you remember when I was talking about, you know, guys, the finishes at Torrey Pines. He's got two second place finishes in his last four starts here. Sandwiched in between is a 21st and a 13th. So inside the top 20, basically four straight years at Torrey Pines. Another guy who is very sketchy with his putter, but if he can just keep it in play, should be fine. Streelman has never played. Oh, yeah, he has. Torrey, he has played Torrey the last bunch of years. Anyways, 37th, 45th in his last two starts there. Come off the 13th place finish at the Memorial. Was in the mix at the PGA Championship. Didn't have a great Sunday
round. He's in the mix to contend, but not get a Phil Hug. That's what he's in the mix for.
Finished 8th. And then your boy, Bobby Mack. $7,000.
Yep. Sign me up.
Robert McIntyre. I think he's most definitely playable. Yep. PGA Championship made the cut, 49th. Masters made the cut, 12th. If you go back to look at the, like, Arnold Palmer, he finished 36th. So, Workday Championship, which is a WGC event, he didn't play well. But either way, $7,000, bomber.
Yep.
I'm on board.
Yep, I'll have a lot. If he misses the cut, so be it. But at 7K, we're looking for guys just to make the cut and maybe contend. He can do both. Like, I'm all like he's played in majors. He's played in two majors now. He's looked good. He's played in big tournaments in Europe. He's won in Europe. Like, the dude's checking boxes, and, you know, you give me a big lefty, and I'm a big lefty. Like, we're friends. Like, I want to meet this guy. So, yeah, give me some Bobby Mack. Like, 7K, there's going to be a lot of shows we do in the future, Jesse, and it's going to be very, very difficult for me not to play Bobby Mack on almost every show. So it's going to be, he's that, especially at 7K. I know it's a major, but there's some other guys above him that he should probably be above. So let's put it that way. Bobby Mack, we're on board there. This range is going to be interesting. Like, Harmon at 74, if it's a grinded out deal, he's not a bomber, but he's super accurate off the tee. We've seen that in some recent events. Usually want him on shorter courses, but that could be an interesting one. I'll go back on Harris English. He's not in the 9K range this week. The dude's decent off the tee and a really good approach game. And he looked really good last week until, like, the last couple holes.
Yeah.
So at $7,300, I'll go with Harris English. The game is back in form after that kind of hiccup we saw a few months ago. He's swinging it very, very well. So English at 73, I like quite a bit in this price range. Brendan Grace is interesting at 72, a guy that can play very well in these tough conditions. So he's a guy that could probably make a cut for you. I don't mind Higo, 100% with you there. Chuck Hoffman at 72. Could be another guy. He's actually played very well in U.S. Opens, which is surprising for a guy that doesn't stand out as, like, the biggest big game hunter type guy. He's more like a waste management guy, right, obviously, by his sponsors. He shows up in these kind of tough events, which is very surprising. So don't mind him because he's one of the better iron players. You mentioned Palmer. That'll be interesting to see the edge there. I think one guy, I won't mention anybody else outside of this, but one other guy in a GPP, if you're making like 20 lineups or so, I'd have a couple pieces of Carlos Ortiz. It's the ultimate boomer bust play if the because he can bomb it. So if he's being pretty accurate off the tee, he's going to set him up for some nice approaches in. We've also seen him spray it a ton. Like, well, he's either going to, like, T25.
He also played really well at the Memorial.
Yeah, so he's either T25 or a miscut, pretty much what you're going to get from Carlos at $7,100. So if you're making 20 lineups or more, I'd make sure to sprinkle in some Carlos Ortiz. That's all I'm going to say there. I'm making three lineups, so I probably won't have any Carlos Ortiz unless something – looks just the bills fill out that way, but keep him in mind if you're making a bunch. 6K range, where we've been getting lucky lately with some nice options. It's not so nice this week, at least not for me. So what are you liking here?
Not a lot. 6,900, Wilco Nienaber.
Yep.
South African guy.
Bomber.
Yeah. I mean, he was absolutely ripping it last week. He played at the Palmetto. I know he made the cut. I don't know where he finished. It was like inside the top 15, or I think. So I think he's fine at 6,900, or he's a GPP option. Obviously, I'm not a huge fan of this range at all. Like, there's not a whole lot. I'm like really digging to try to find something here. Brendan Steele at 6,500. I do feel like Brendan Steele is playable because when was the last time he missed?
He's made a lot of cuts in a row.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go back here. His last miscut was December of 2020. It was at the Mayakoba. So this calendar year, he has not missed a cut. And in the past, he's played okay around Torrey. He has missed the cut the last 2 years that he played it, which was 2020 and 2019. But before that, 29th, 20th, 49th, 45th, 28th. So at $6,500, if he makes the cut and gets inside the top 40, he's paying off
big time.
Robbie Shelton at 6,400. And the only reason for him is because of his course history, 16th and 36th in the last 2 years. I mean, he has made his last two cuts on tour, 32nd at the Memorial, four straight missed cuts, you know, from the Wells Fargo back to the Texas Open. So, I mean, he's up and down, 6,400, but I think he's okay. My model, for some reason, likes Taylor Pendrith at 6,500. I'm not 100% sure why. He did play well at the U.S. Open last year. He shot, I mean, he finished 23rd. He's had two starts that I've got. He's been playing on the Corn Ferry Tour or some shit.
Yeah, Kate, Corn Ferry's been going crazy. If you want, I've got his recent Corn Ferry here. Just give me 1 second.
I used to have Corn Ferry stats on.
Yeah, I got it right here.
I don't anymore.
So he's got T23, T8, T43, T17, T65, T15. That's his last few before a miscut. And then he's made three cuts. So he's made nine of his last 10 cuts on the Corn Ferry.
$6,500. There you go. Another GPP option. I mean, again, I'm trying to avoid being down this range because I'm like you. I'm going to play one to three lineups. I mean, I'll probably play three, but
yeah, that's not
you know, it's, but it, you know, I'm not 150 max guy. So I'm not, you know, I've never been that way. I've just always, you know, play just what I want or whatever in about three lineups. So there you go. That's all I got in the 6K range.
No, I like the idea there. I'm with you on Wilco Niedenbauer. Like, if people follow me on Twitter, which I'd hope you did if you listen to the show, it was like, it was either Friday or Saturday. It was T. Lee and Niedenbauer, or like Niedenbauer, I'm sorry, was seven under, tied for third, both of them. And I'm just like, I just pictured.
Was it Tainley?
Oh, Tainley. Yeah. Tainley. Yes. Okay, and if you did, someone made a fake account about I'm mother effing Tainley, and it was awesome. Like, following him all week. Just like, he's adding the PGA Tour, he's adding all kinds of stuff, adding CBS. It was awesome. So, yeah, good stuff there. But I think Niedenbauer will be very popular, but he is a bomber. So if he's somewhat accurate, I would not be shocked if he puts up a decent number here. He could also implode. So he's $6,900. And like, you guys should be watching this live sometimes, or at least go to YouTube and check it out, because Dom puts all kinds of good nuggets in here, which he also puts in the Slack chat. But he mentions, like, Palmer seems to play well where Rom plays well, 20 and 20 at the Memorial. Rom won, Palmer second. He's done that at Torrey a few times and whatnot. But he mentions here, Wilco, that Niedenbauer, South African bomber, and South African guys grew up on Kikui. So that's something to think about, because it may seem minimal, but you're down there in the 6K range, so screw it. The other guys I have circled here, Johnny Vegas, give me the bomber that can run hot from time to time. Wyndham Clark, similar. Really good short game, really long off the tee. Can he get there and putt? That's the question. RCB, I'll buy back in. He's been very good.
Oh,
in
wow.
US Opens. He burned me last week in a big, big way. Like, I would have had a hell of a 6-6. But I think that's going to lower his ownership tremendously. He was coming in great form before that. He's played very, very well in US Opens in his career. So 6,700, I'll go back to the RCB train. And last but not least, I'm a big fan of Molinari. We're going to play his brother this week at 65 if you need him. He's a great, great iron player. He's been playing awesome on the Euro Tour, T2, a miscut, a T8. He's even got a win a little bit ago. So coming in pretty decent form on the Euro Tour if you need to go there. Again, I don't want to go here, but these are guys you can look at for sure.
Eduardo
Molinari. So
Franny's not even in the
He's in the field. He's low 7K.
What?
Yeah. And don't forget Franny moved to San Diego area. So he's a member, yeah, I believe, at Torrey or something like that. So got that going for you too. He's fallen.
Awful though.
Yeah, he's fallen. I'm not playing Franny, but I'll play his brother if I need to at 65. Let's recap things real quick. 10K and above, who's your number one play?
John Rahm. It's gonna be.
I'll let you have Rahm. I'll take Brooks. Give me Brooks. But I'm with you. Rahm's the guy. If I had to put any money on this, and it's short odds, but that's the guy I think. If he's pissed off, like, let me give me some Rombo. 9K range, who's your number one?
Man, there's a lot of options there.
Go two.
I'm going to say Rory and Reed. And I'm just going to top and bottom of the range.
Yeah, I love Reed, of course, but give me Morikawa and Hovland. I'll go those two. Love the 9K range. 8K, go with two.
Usti and Hideki.
I'll go Webb and Usti. Those will be my two. 75 to 79, go ahead and go two.
Kokrak and Answer.
Yeah, we're on the same page there. I'll mix it up. I'll say Answer and Lowry, but I like Kokrak quite a bit too. 7K to 74, go ahead and go two.
Homa and Palmer.
I'll go English. I forgot to mention Matt Wallace. I like Wallace. So no, I'm going to go Wallace and Bobby Mack. Those will be the two guys I'll use. Wallace and Bobby, because obviously Bobby Mack was going to be one. So Wallace and Bobby Mack. And if you have to go in the 6K range, who's the one guy you're going to?
Brendan Steele.
I'll go Nienaber. We'll go with the South African, the bomber. Cash is tough this week. I'm just going to flat out say it. Also, I think I forgot to mention at the front, the field is 156 golfers, but it's T60 in ties this week.
Oh, God.
In the U.S. Open. T60 in ties. So if you thought 6-6 has been tough before, buckle up, folks. It's going to get really fun. So if you had to play cash, Jesse, for some weird reason, who are three guys you'd start with?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I don't, but I think Finau probably is in there. Just given his track record and that kind of shit. Paul Casey's probably a cash game play. And then Kokrak is borderline.
Yeah. I'm with you.
At that price.
I go like Oosty, Casey, and Answer. Start with those three. If you're making cash, like stick in the 7 and 8K range, don't get cute. Don't get cute at all. But if you're playing a GPP, you can get cute, Jesse. So who are you starting out a GPP lineup with?
I feel like if you start with Brooks and then you dip down and you grab somebody like Oosthuizen and then another guy like Homa, you might be a little bit different.
Yeah, I'm going to go Morikawa, Hovland, and Reed. If you want a fourth guy, throw Bobby Mack in there and have fun. Like, there you go. Let's see what happens. Who you got winning this thing?
Of course. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where we've only done this, we've done podcasts for how many years every week?
We're well over 100 episodes, yes.
Yeah, and I always forget to pull up the fucking odds. So you start.
Well, obviously, I think Rahm's going to win, but he's 10-1. So I wouldn't tell anybody to put 10-1 down. Yeah. But if you want to go like outside of say 50s, like if you want to go outside that range, I think Uzi at 50 is interesting because he never would shock me. I think Lowry at 50 is interesting. You got Answer at 66. I don't know if he can win it, but that's not a bad price tag. There's a lot. This is a great T20 week. I know I say that almost every time, but this, when it's a loaded field like this, you can get some really good T20 type odds. Like if you want to go down Bobby Mack, 150-1 to win, but you could probably get a good T20 odds there. The Stew Goat would be a nice one. Matt Jones could be interesting as a T20. So those would be some of the guys I'd be looking at.
Palmer would be another guy at 150-1 for the top 20.
Matty Wallace, 10. Another guy.
As far as like winning odds, I would look at like I think Rory at 20 is you can actually bet some of these guys not named John Rahm. I mean Brooks at 16,
yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. I'm surprised Rahm is such the large favorite there, but and then Kokrak at 66, I think is decent odds on him there. And I mean, even look at like Hideki at 33. I mean, you probably find better odds on different books or whatever. But I mean,
like Reed at 28, like no one would be shocked if.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think Patrick Reed wins at U.S. Open before it's over with.
Oh yeah, he's made for this kind of grinding event. Like as long as he avoids the implosion, he can stick around for 4 days and shock people.
Right.
So, 100% with you there.
Knows how to bend the rules. You know.
Yeah, this is where he played the fluff it in the rough game. And won this year. This is where
back to the scene of the crime.
This is the scene of the crime, and the refs can be even thicker this year, and they'll be fans.
Yeah,
be even more fun.
I don't have to worry about some old lady trying to spot your ball.
Yeah, so this will be good as well. But any final thoughts? Major week, U.S. Open.
Man, I don't. Other than it's the U.S. Open, so it's a great week. So enjoy it. Watch a lot of golf as much as you can. I'm not sure if you have to have Peacock or not, but if you
I believe you do. I believe you have to have Peacock for the first couple of days. Yeah. See, different story. Baseball's apparently doing that this weekend. The whole Giants Philly series is going straight Peacock only, and I'm furious. And people are like, "Oh, but everyone streams now." I'm like, "You don't get it. Like this is not what I signed up for."
Well, here's the thing: is like I got to pay $5 a month for all these damn streaming services, and before I know it, I'm paying $200 a month like I was
DirecTV
for cable.
Yeah. With you. Yeah. That's my gripe. But so yeah, I guess I avoid the Peacock thing because I'm in my truck when they're playing Thursday and Friday. And by the weekend, it's usually back to normal TV. Thank goodness. But the Peacock's going to frustrate people. I'm 99% sure because NBC's hosting it. So it's going to be on the Peacock. So yeah, keep that in mind. But it'll be a fun week. Check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm Matt B. Dientrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. Give a rate and review on iTunes. We'd appreciate it. And come join the free Slack chat. Lots of good conversations going on in there. But good luck this week. We'll be back with you next week and hope someone wins a lot of money. It's a major week. Let's do it.
Do it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.